We turn in the Word of God to Hebrews chapter 7, Hebrews 7, and from verse 23, Hebrews chapter 7, and from verse 23. Hebrews 7, and from verse 23. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Amen. Our theme is unending intercession and eternal salvation. Unending intercession and eternal salvation. Sometimes people ask the question, will it last? Will it last when someone professes faith in Christ? Will it last? Well, the answer is, if it is real faith, if it is saving faith, if it is that faith which is the fruit of the work of the Holy Spirit renewing the heart, then it will last. It will surely last. It will beyond all doubt last. And that person will have a place in glory. On the other hand, sometimes people excuse their own unwillingness to repent and seek the Lord with the statement, I couldn't keep it up. And this shows that they have not actually grasped who it is who does the saving. Those who are saved by Christ are saved forevermore. Christ is an eternal Savior, and this is now brought out. Firstly, Christ is an everlasting, an ever-living high priest. Christ is an ever-living high priest. Verse 23, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The apostle has been expounding Psalm 110, verse 4. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He has shown the significance of the order of Melchizedek. He has shown the significance of the words forever. And he has shown the significance of the fact of the oath the Lord has sworn and will not repent. Now he elaborates further on the permanence of Christ's priesthood compared with that of Aaron and his sons of the tribe of Levi, and what that permanence means. It means not merely official superiority, but it means what it means in terms of what Christ can actually do. In other words, this is not a mere nominal or titular superiority. It is not merely a superiority of form. This superiority of Christ indicates what Christ can do as a high priest to God. That he has the power to save sinners. Once more, the priesthood of Aaron and his sons is considered in terms of its temporariness. Not only its temporariness as a whole, but the mortality of each individual priest. It consisted of a succession of mortal men. Verse 23, but they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. By contrast, but this man, the man is in italics, but this one, this Lord Jesus, our Lord Jesus, but this, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. This one of whom Psalm 110 is speaking, he continues ever. Not only because he is the eternal Son of God whom angels worship, as we saw back in chapter 1 and 2, but also as a man he died, but now death hath no more dominion over him. Christ being dead dieth no more. The Lord Jesus, after his resurrection, speaking to John on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation 1:18, says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. And if Christ lives forever, then he intercedes forever. That's the argument. Christ lives forever, therefore he intercedes forever, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Christ intercedes for his people, not in momentary fashion, but as he lives forever, so he intercedes continually. He intercedes after the manner of John 17, where we are given a glimpse of the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of his people. True, John 17 and the prayer in it was uttered by Christ in his earthly state. He now intercedes in a way compatible with his heavenly state, and we do not fully understand that. But we must lay hold of what Scripture teaches us, that Christ's merits on behalf of his people and his will for the good of his people are perpetually open before God the Father. And from this, the apostle derives the great conclusion, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. That word, to the uttermost, you'll see in the margin, it says evermore or evermore. And the term uttermost, it's made up of two words, all and end. And the idea is to the full end. Sometimes people use this verse to show that Christ can save great sinners. And of course that is true. He can save great sinners. But what it has in mind particularly is that he saves to the end, to the full eternal measure. He saves forever those who come to God by him. I will, he prays in John 17, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which I had with thee before the world was. And they shall, because Christ ever lives to make intercession, they shall be saved with an everlasting salvation. Christ intercedes, therefore we shall endure to the end. We shall receive the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. Christ doesn't half save anybody. Christ saves his people from their sins. He saves them eternally. They shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of his hand. He does not merely make his people savable. He will save his people from their sin. Those who are chosen of God in eternity are called effectually in time and brought to faith in Christ Jesus. And it is the work of God in their souls that causes them to come to Jesus Christ. And they are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. The falsehood of Arminianism, that is the idea that man has an independent free will, it makes the effectiveness of Christ's intercession to be dependent upon that, upon the will of man outside the control and the power of God. It denies the effectiveness of Christ as the Savior and High Priest of his people. And that is why our forefathers regarded that doctrine as so pernicious, so evil. Christ saves to the uttermost, to the end. He keeps those whom the Father has given him. He loses none of them. Because his intercession is effectual. What Christ says in John 17, that he wills, will come to pass. But his people are here described as them that come to God by him. The people of God, those who are saved by Christ, are said to come to God by Christ. They are made willing to do so by the power of the Spirit. But they come to God by Jesus Christ. Not unbelieving Jews, not Muslims, not liberals who think they can come to God without a mediator, without a high priest. Not the self-righteous who think they can be accepted with God without Christ. Not the Roman Catholic who looks to other mediators. If he believes what his church teaches. But those who come to God by him, by Christ, he is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him. Those who do not come to God by Christ are not saved by him. Those who die in their sins, those who die rejecting Christ as the mediator between God and men, shall have no part in the kingdom of glory and of life. To come to God is to seek him in prayer, to come to him looking for acceptance, and those who truly come and those who are accepted, they come with all their hope and expectation of acceptance, resting upon Christ as the great high priest. So in chapter 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. To come boldly is to come with our confidence in Christ, knowing that God will fulfill his word and receive every sinner who comes to God by Jesus Christ. They will be accepted. Now, have you come to God by Jesus Christ? Have you come to God this way? Have you come through the mediator? Have you come to God relying only on Christ as the great high priest who can bring any sinner to God? Those who have come in this way will be kept coming in this way. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. So then, that is our first point, an ever-living high priest. Christ ever lives, therefore Christ ever intercedes. Therefore, those who come to God by him shall be saved forever. But then secondly, a wonderfully qualified high priest. A wonderfully qualified high priest. Verse 26. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. A wonderfully qualified high priest. He says, such an high priest became us, taking us to be the people of God. What are we? What are we aside from Christ? We're guilty sinners. We're hell-deserving sinners. We're helpless sinners, without strength. Do you see yourself to be such? Because those who come to God by Christ, they do know that that's what they are. Guilty sinners, hell-deserving sinners, powerless sinners. Do you know that about yourself? Do you see yourself in these terms? Because it is sure that if you do not, you have never come to God by Jesus Christ. But here is the suitable Savior, Such a high priest became us. We look at that in a moment. He is described as a becoming Savior, a suitable Savior, an altogether fit high priest. And here are his qualifications. He is holy. Not just officially holy, set apart to office, but actually holy. There was no sin in him, neither was any guile found in his mouth. It was always his meat to do the will of him that sent him. It was written of him in the volume of the book, "Lo, I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." He loved righteousness and hated iniquity. He was harmless. Why is this word included? Because it shows that he kept the second table of the law as well as the first. He loved God with all his heart and soul and mind and strength. And he fulfilled the law also. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There was no malice in him toward his neighbor. Nothing impure. So he is also described as undefiled. There was not a hint of sin in him. Even in his thoughts, the Lord Jesus never sinned. Separate from sinners, the Savior of sinners must needs be separate from sinners. He needs to be in a different class in that sense. He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. But he had no sin, no corruption. There was no sin in his heart. There was no indwelling sin. He was undefiled and separate from sinners. Yes, he moved among sinners, and he received sinners, and he came to save sinners. But he was not a sinner. He was separate from sinners. But he is also made higher than the heavens. He was beneath the heavens to accomplish redemption on the cross of Calvary. He fulfilled all righteousness and bore the sin of many in this world. But he is now made higher than the heavens. And such a high priest becomes us, who has both fulfilled all righteousness and borne the guilt of sin, and is now exalted as the accomplished redeemer of his people at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession. Such an high priest became us as the absolutely suitable high priest. The word becoming means in accordance with. What is it in accordance with? What is Christ's high priesthood in accordance with? His high priesthood is in accordance with the character of the Holy God of heaven. And it is in accordance with the fact that we are desperately guilty and hell deserving. It is in accordance with the character of God and the sin and hell deservedness of men that Christ should be such an high priest. In Hebrews 2 and verse 10, we read, "For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." It became the character of God that the mediator and savior of his people should suffer and bear his wrath. And it became Christ the mediator of and the savior of guilty sinners and their high priest to bring them to God, that the high priest acting on behalf of sinners should himself be holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. And the one who delivers sinners on earth should be made higher than the heavens to intercede on their behalf. You remember that when the Lord Jesus was baptized of John, you remember that John hesitated and Christ said, "For so it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness." It was becoming, it was in accordance with the character of God and the salvation of a sinful people that he should fulfill all righteousness and that he should bear their iniquity. He is an altogether suitable high priest. You need no other mediator than this mediator. This is the becoming mediator of sinners, the becoming, the altogether suitable, the altogether right mediator between God and men. So you must come to God by him. And then thirdly, an accomplished but eternal high priest. An accomplished but eternal high priest. Verse 27. Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. The Levitical priests offered daily. Their sacrifices were ineffectual, and they were therefore constantly repeated, showing their ineffectualness and pointing to that which was to come. But more than that, they had to offer for their own sins as well as for the people, whereas Christ had no sin. Christ came to offer for the sins of his people, not for his own. And he came to do it once, not to be repeated. Not the sacrifice, nor the offering. Rome teaches that Christ's sacrifice is, to quote their catechism, sacramentally offered at the Mass. But no, Christ's sacrifice was once, and Christ's sacrifice was offered once. In chapter 9, verse 26, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Verse 28, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of men." Christ's sacrifice took place once, and it was offered once. Whereas the law made priests which have infirmity. The phrase "which have infirmity" could be referred to those, to the infirmity of them as men. But we believe it's actually referring to the infirmity, the ineffectualness of their priesthood. Whereas the Son of God, manifest in the flesh, is consecrated, or as the margin says, perfected, made fully qualified forevermore. We've said earlier in other weeks that the priesthood of Aaron and his sons and the tribe of Levi, whilst it sometimes typified Christ positively by way of parallel, there was also contrast. There were things that were true of those priests that are not true of Christ. There were things that were not true of those priests that are true of Christ. And here we have a cluster of these contrasts. They were many, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. He was one. Their priesthood was temporary. His is eternal. They offered daily. He offered once. They had their own sins. He had none. They offered, and this comes out later, the blood of others. He offered himself. Their priesthood was ineffectual. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Now then, with such a suitable Saviour, with such a suitable Saviour, the people of God are safe. You see, only God could provide a becoming, a suitable, an effectual Saviour. Man-made religion and man-made roads to heaven must always lead to hell, simply because they are man-made. But only God can save, and save effectually, and save in his way, by his appointed high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. The people of God are safe. The people of God are secure. The people of God will not perish. The people of God will be glorified with Christ. Not one of the elect of God will be missing from that multitude, those many brethren, those many sons that Christ came to bring to glory. If we are in Christ now, we shall be in Christ forever and glorified with Christ. Christ intercedes. Christ is at the right hand of God. When we are tempest-tossed in this world, Christ is at the right hand of the Father. He ever lives to make intercession. Sometimes to us in our feebleness, it all seems so touch and go. It all seems so fragile. But it is absolutely certain that the people of God shall be glorified with Christ. And to those of you who do not have Christ, why do you not seek him? This is the suitable high priest, the becoming Saviour. And there is no other. And we bear witness against you that we have declared to you God's appointed mediator, who is altogether a suitable high priest and mediator for sinners to come to God. And if you will not have this Saviour, there is no hope. Absolutely none. And why should there be? For sinners, hell-deserving sinners, to hear of this altogether suitable Saviour and despise him. O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. And the people of God will not quarrel with the sentence of God against you in that day. That on top of all your sins, you heard of the suitable Saviour of sinners, the high priest that can bring sinners to God, and you despise him. And the saints of God shall say, Righteous art thou, O Lord, in thy judgments. What could be more righteous and just that sinners should be condemned, and especially sinners who heard of this altogether suitable Saviour and despised him? It is this suitable Saviour that is made known to you this day. You must come to God by him, or you will perish forever under the righteous wrath of Almighty God. But this great high priest can make any and every sinner who comes to God by him accepted in the sight of God. Are you a filthy sinner? Yes, you are. But Christ is righteous. Are you a guilty sinner? Yes, you are. But Christ has borne the guilt of sin on behalf of all who come to God by him. Are you a sinner on earth? You are indeed. But Christ is at the right hand of God, and none perish who come to the Father by him. Then you must come to God by Jesus Christ. There is abundant ground of hope in him, and there is none whatsoever without him. Come to Jesus Christ, and be accepted and forgiven of the Father. Come to God by him.